Okay, this is our dedication service for the new building, the Living Savior Church. I think we should give the building and all the builders a hand. Thank you, Jesus. It was so funny last night. I came in and I said, honey, you need to pray for my back. I'd been moving tables all over here and things. I said, I need you to pray for my back. And he says, I'm going to include my back in it too. We started laughing because both of us have been working, you know, day and night, and all the guys have just, I mean, they built this from scratch. Do you understand? They welded every piece of metal. This every piece of metal up here has been welded. These contractors of God, it's just a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Well, we're going to start the program today, you know, in 1 Chronicles 15:27-28, and also in 2 Samuel 6:14. David came dancing, singing wildly in front of the Lord for the joy of the Lord, to worship the Lord when they brought the ark into Jerusalem. So we today are going to celebrate with dancing and flag waving and singing and celebrations. So everybody knows that they're free in Christ, right? Well, we're going to have Keith Westridge, our captain, Delta pilot, show you just how much freedom we've got. Bravo, bravo. Also, big hand for Keith. He built a step out there last night at about midnight. So if it wasn't for him, we couldn't have gotten in the building. Okay, now we're going to have a skit. We have a one-woman skit by Kim Wright. It's called Angel Network Channel 316.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am an angel sent by God. This is Angel Network. We're going to be brief, but to the point. Okay. Greetings from the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, grace, peace, mercy. We had our end of the year meeting. It was 2 million angels, and we did a poll. And the poll was simple. First, we're going to do the complaints. The angels. angels had complaints. The first complaint was, the born-again believers, y'all sleep too late. Y'all sleep very, very late. We need you to wake up and praise the Lord. If you sleep too late, you could get into a car accident. If you sleep too late, your children will stay rebellious. If you sleep too late, things just happen. So we need you to wake up in the morning and spend time with the King. That will help us out a great deal. The next one, the angels had a problem with. You grumble and complain too much. You're on the telephone, talking all the time. Some of you have two phones. So we really, really need you to cut the time on the telephone. No grumbling, complaining. When you grumble and when you complain, it stops our power. We have to watch you grumble and complain. We don't understand why you do what you do, because God is so amazing. We love God, Jehovah. But we don't understand you humans. In Philippians, he cannot stand it when you grumble and complain. He talks about it in Philippians. So please, if you have to grumble and complain, could you please remember we're watching you. The last complaint of the year, about 60 million angels, they all had a problem with too much TV. Okay. Now, the thing about the television is, God wants you guys to be sanctified. He said for you guys to come out from among them. But because you watch television all the time, it's very hard to keep you pure. Now, if you turn off the television, okay, let me tell you what happens when you watch television. That spirit that you're watching, because sometimes you watch the soap operas. And on the soap operas, there's people committing adultery. There's people talking about each other. There's people who are rude and disrespectful. So when you sit and watch television all day long or all night long, whatever you're watching, it's feeding your spirit. So we angels will really appreciate it if you turn the TV off and come out from among them and be ye separated. Okay, we got some good news. This is the good news from the angels. There's about the majority of you Christians, your angels are standing right next to you. You can't see them, but I can see them. Hey, George, I see you. Hey, Tina, how you doing? Only we angels, we only can see each other. The one that they're excited about to report, the majority of you wake up in the morning and you praise the King. You wake up and you dance. You wake up joyfully. Oh, the angels love this. Oh, my goodness. They have great reviews about the ones who praise the King in the morning. And the second one is, they love it when you give out CDs. Oh, my goodness. When you give out CDs, they get excited. Oh, that means that we can dispatch more angels to come help us to spread the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that these CDs are effective? And these CDs are going all over the world. And these CDs are making people set free. So we're excited. And the last one, we must continue our fight to pray and to speak in the spirit. When you pray, and when you pray in the spirit, the demons don't know what you're saying. Only us angels know what you're saying. And some of the secrets that God gives to you can only be revealed through praying in the spirit. And when you pray and you warfare, that gives us our assignments, because we know what you're saying when you pray in the spirit. So on behalf of our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to say, keep up the good work.
Fabulous, Kim. Fabulous. She didn't tell me what she was going to do. That was great. I love that. All right. I know all of y'all have heard about Philip Anthony Wren. Well, he works for us. He's 24 now. He had a miraculous healing when he was 11. He's on our DVD, Supernatural. It's called Miracles. Let's see. What is it called? Testimonies of Miraculous Healings. That's what it's called. I even named it so you'd think I'd remember. Yeah, number one. That's right. Number one and number two. Okay, well, he's also here with his dad, who plays guitar for us, Michael Haynes, and they're going to do a father-son duet of, is he here? On Amazing Grace. It's kind of a different version. It's kind of a blues version. So put your hands together for Philip Anthony Wren and his dad, Michael Haynes.
Hey, praise God. It's good to see y'all here. Wow. What a turnout. I've been on vacation, so we haven't really had time to practice this. Yeah, sir.
Son duo. Fabulous. All right, we're going to have an original original worship song that Jenny wrote. She's going to play it. She's always writing, praising the Lord.
This is a song I wrote to the Lord. I was going through a rough time, and he's brought me through a whole bunch of stuff. So it's kind of like a testimony of what's happened to me and that and how the Lord just brings us out of the mess that we're in. So
well, I was up and I was down, and I was spinning all around, looking for joy that I could borrow. You came around and wiped a tear, and suddenly there was no fear, and then you stole away my sorrow. And I will walk with you all the days of my life, and if I'm falling through, you're my strength in the night. Forever I'll run to your light. Was good, broke my heart like no one else could. Still, I never felt the pain. You came inside and showed your face. Well, there was truth, there was grace, and I will never be the same. And I will walk with you all the days of my life. And if I'm falling through, you're my strength in the night. Forever.
For Miss Jennifer Elizabeth Spaulding. Okay, we have a special treat. All the children come up to the front to sing. They're also going to do sign language, so y'all watch, keep a watch here.
All right, are y'all ready? Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak.
Strong.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Woo, what a fabulous job that was. Okay, about, I think it was 25 years ago, my husband got set free by this one word, sozo. So after we got married, I ended up writing this song, and it's kind of like our theme song. Yeah. Y'all know we've traveled all over singing this song, right? Souls be Lord. You are my living Savior. Souls of me, Lord. Partake of the divine nature. Save me, heal me, make me whole. Deliver me, preserve me, make me yours. Call on Him, Jesus will appear.
Souls of me, Lord. 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 1, 2, 1, 2.
Hallelujah.
I didn't need all the staff up here. All the staff.
Hey,
come on, please.
Christy and Mike, you guys want to come worship with us?
Mike, do you want to come worship? Oh, you got a baby. You want to bring her up here? I'll hold her. Come on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Y'all know that my husband's worked day and night for the last 8 weeks. Day and night.
Yeah.
Day and night. And I'm not kidding you, day and night. I mean, they were up here on this roof at midnight, putting down the roof and everything. And I walked out here one time, and I walked around the building, and he's at the very tip top, the first piece of metal that is, he's up there at the very tip top. And I realized later that two guys are holding the bottom of the metal, and he's just up on the top of the metal. It's not even screwed down. On the very tip top, that's 22 feet up. I was like, wow, praise God we have angels around here. You know, praise God. Husband of mine, come up here, please. The staff got together. Put in a contractor for God. Just come up here and look good. Okay, we came. The staff came together with our own money. He loves that. And we took your favorite. In just a minute, I'll tell you the rest of it. But anyway, we had this plaque put together. It's a hologram. It's four dimensional, and it has your favorite scripture on it, Philippians 4:13. You can go ahead and uncover it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says, go ahead and go in the front so you can see it. It says, it has the burning bush, the flames of the burning bush. It has Jesus Christ across it. And then if you look at a certain angle, it has all the different names of the Lord. I know. It is beautiful. David, do you want to come up? David Bruchard. A big hand for the artist, David Bruchard. Come on up, David. David Bruchard, he has a company called Jewel Steel, and all the crosses and the angel over there, he made all those, as well as I commissioned him to do this for my husband. You can see through there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, running this way. And then, isn't that beautiful? A big round of applause for his talent. And the Lord showed him that. This is, honey, the staff presents this to you for our dedication service for the first service, the first Sunday in December. And 6 years ago, he also had his very first service, not here, his first service 6 years ago, the first Sunday in December.
The first Sunday that we had service over at Fred's place 6 years ago, there was four people in attendance. Praise the Lord. Quite a difference, I'll have to say. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, he loves it. Praise God for that. Mary, did you know? Sorry, it is Theo. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. All right, we're going to introduce Theo Williams to you. We're going to put your hands in the hands of the man.
Okay. Amen. Yeah. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Everybody.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Come on, baby.
Take a look at yourself. You can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man.
Every time I look into the holy book, I want to tremble. Yeah! When I read about the fall where a carpenter cleared the temple. Listen! The liars and the sellers were no different fellas than what I profess to be. And it causes me pain to know I'm not the person I should be. Everybody here go ahead.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who still water.
Woo!
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea.
Take a look at yourself,
and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Mama taught me how to pray before I reached the age of 7. Oh, yes, she did. Now, you know what? When I'm down on my knees, that's when I'm close to heaven.
Come on,
yeah. Papa lived his life with 2 kids and a wife, and he did what he could do. And he showed me enough of what it takes to get you through. Everybody, here we go, dance a little.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who steals the water.
Oh, yeah.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a look at yourself. Woo. You can look at others differently.
By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo!
Glory! 1, 2, 1, 2.
Y'all can sit back down.
If you can.
I know we got you up on your feet. Yes. That was just a little air. Yeah, that was intro.
It was a teaser.
Right. Here's Mary, Did You Know? We're going to do a few Christmas songs to celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's what we're all about this December, besides our dedication service. As well as we did have a baby barn, Joshua, as we're also having Nirmala and Subhash had their first baby boy, Joshua, and so we're celebrating his birth also.
little baby boy is Lord of all the nations.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations?
Did you know,
that your baby boy was heaven's perfect plan?
The sleeping child you're holding is a great.
Dedication service without doing my husband's favorite song.
When I look down from the
Thank you.
Oh, come all you faithful to the dedication service of God's new church.
Okay, we're on. I don't know. Okay, so praise the Lord. I turned it on, but it didn't come on. But anyway, in the interest of bathrooms, all you got to do is go right back out to the little walkway out here and go up to the ministry center there and go in the front door and just walk straight to the back, and there's three bathrooms back there. So if you need to use those are there. Those are working. We have six over here and one for the nursery, but they're not working yet. But they will be in the near future. As you see, as Cheryl said earlier, we have worked night and day for the last 2 months. And I see Christy. And I want to say a personal thank you to all of the people, you know, that have helped. I mean, you guys have done a great job. God has sent men and everything. And then, of course, right near the end, all of you men, or a lot of you men are here today that have come and gave the Lord anywhere from a few hours to a few days. And some of you have been here the whole thing almost for weeks, and it's amazing. And then, of course, I'm going to have to say and call a name here, because all of the landscaping was done by Steve LeBeau up here. And I mean, he brought his own crew. He furnished all the materials, all the bushes and everything. And I thought, wow, that's a great big gift. You know, he really done a great thing. And I realized that I was really sweating it, you might say. Lord, December the 1st, and I have no heater. And I wonder if we're going to make it. But it looks like I should have had the air conditioner. But very shortly, we will have heat and air conditioning. But, you know, I mean, for 2 months, I'm grateful to all the men. And, of course, as I stood out front this morning out there when I heard Cheryl and the team singing How Great There Are. I couldn't keep from crying. I was standing there thinking, God, how great you are, you know, that give us the knowledge and the wisdom to do what we've been able to do here in such a short period of time. And, of course, I want to thank all of you for showing up here on our first Sunday. You know, praise the Lord, being a part of the Living Savior Church on the very first Sunday. I am so grateful. We serve an awesome God. And, of course, Ed Dotson, I think it was Ed a while ago back there, or somebody, maybe two or three somebodies, they said, did you build this building where you can expand it? And I said, yes, I did. It'd be very easy to put an expansion and do an expansion on this. And I am hoping that with what God has done through this guy that used to be a Southern Baptist deacon and a Sunday school teacher, the revelation he's given me, I do know that many of you here today, many of you that I know personally have received a wonderful healing from the Lord, and your life has been changed through this ministry. And I am grateful, grateful, grateful that God has blessed me and that I can pass this information on and you find it works for you just like it did me. And so it's a great and mighty thing, and I am ever grateful to this great and awesome God that we serve. He is awesome. Now then, I want to start out today with a scripture in 2 Timothy 2:15. I want to show you something here. The enemy does not want you to know this. And we read this, but we don't really take it to heart. And I want to put it in the King James, 2 Timothy 2:15. I want you to see something that God said here. He said in 2 Timothy 2:15, and don't you love this, having the scriptures right on the board? You know, right now, today, that's a sheet, but, you know, we will have a board eventually. You know, we're slowly but surely getting things going, and I'm so grateful. Of course, the kitchen back here don't have anything in it but tables right now, but it will have refrigerator, freezers, sinks, cabinets, and all kinds of stuff. And that wall will go all the way up to the ceiling. And then for those of you that wonder what we're doing over here, you know, I will build a stairway over here, and there'll be a wall right across here that'll move this out just a little bit. But up here, the stairway that goes up, I have so many of my young daughters. Most of them are daughters. I have a few sons, too, you know, that God has given me. But the people that work for us and with us, a lot of times they come out here and they need to stay overnight or two or three nights because of where they live or whatever, or so far away. So right now we've been trying our best to provide them with that. And it really helps them, you know, if you've got a place for them to stay. So since I had all that space up there, I'm going to build 6 small bedrooms up there, you know, with a bath and everything in each individual one, so that they can come out and have the privacy of their own little bedroom. And some of you may think, well, gee, there's not enough room up there. But, oh, yeah, there's a lot of room up there. You know, there's a lot of room up on top of that. So anyway, we got great plans for this place, and I hope it never stops to grow. You know, we're going to keep growing. But I want you to see something here in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Now, the people that have missed this, and unfortunately I missed this, a great period of my life, although I was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and everything, I really didn't study the Word of God in depth. And then when I finally did begin to study it in depth, I began to see things in this book. You know, it's kind of like this, one of the engineers that worked with us in the corporate office in Washington, I led his wife to Jesus. He was a Baptist, and he had hardly ever went to church. He spent all of his effort studying about the world, and he was a very brilliant man, I will have to say. But his own wife was dying and going to hell, and he didn't even know it. You know, so I had the privilege to talk to her over the phone when I'd call. A lot of times I'd get her because they worked in the same office, and every time I'd call her, I'd talk to her about Jesus. Well, I finally led her to Jesus over the telephone and got this little girl saved. After I got her saved, I told him, I said, and his name was Rick, I said, Rick, what you need to do, you need to start reading the Word of God every day and studying the Word like you do down there at all those universities. He had 2 or 3 PhDs. I don't know what all he had, but he was a brilliant man. I said, you need to start studying the Word of God, especially the New Testament, like you've studied the world systems. Well, he said, Thurman, you really think it's important? I said, it's the most important thing you'll ever do. So he read the New Testament, him and his wife together, over several months. I'd talk to him every once in a while, and I'd say, are you reading the Bible? Well, yeah, we started in the book of Matthew, and we read a chapter or two. And so finally one day I called him. He said, we finally got through. We read the whole book, the New Testament. I said, great. I said, well, what do you think about this promise? And I quoted him a promise, like Matthew 18:19. I said, what do you think about this? The Lord says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. He said, I don't remember reading that. I said, you didn't remember reading it? He said, no, that wasn't in mine. He said, if it had been a promise that powerful, I would surely not have missed something like that. I said, but you got a Bible handy? He said, well, I know not where I am, but he said, tonight when I get home, I'll read that. I told him, I said, turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, and read that wonderful promise. Well, the next day he called me back, and he said, you know, I can't believe that thing. It was there. I went home and read it, and it was there. You know, but he said, okay, so I missed that one. But he said, you know, I'm pretty brilliant, and I do a lot of reading and research. So he said, the rest of it I know. I said, okay, good. So I asked him about another one, and he didn't know that one either. Now, why do you think God didn't tell us to read the Word of God? He told us to study the Word of God. Because, see, he knew that the enemy would come and steal the Word out of your mind and your heart. And then you would be beat up on by the enemy, and you'd go through life totally defeated because you do not know the promises of God. Now, your life can be totally transformed and totally changed if you'll be obedient to what this book tells you. And this book, you live your life according to this book, whether you know it or not. If you don't know it, you still live it according to this book. You know, the consequences are there, and you wonder, why is all these bad things happening to me? Well, they're happening to you because you haven't spent time with God. Or you can be blessed, can't you? Amen. Amen. But he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you can take the word of God, and you can do great and mighty things. Have we got a problem, Dave, or something? Have we got a buzz? Yeah, I hear something buzzing. I don't know what that is. But anyway, we'll try to get all these bugs worked out as time goes along. We'll make everything work. Just be patient. But there is a little buzz. I hear it. Okay, now then, let's go to, as we go here, let's go to the next couple of verses. In verses 2 Timothy 2, let's go to verse 16. Let's see what verse 6, that did it. Whatever you did, that turned it off. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. In other words, if you listen to profane and vain babblings, and I'm going to tell you that most of the things that we listen to today, that's what they are if they do not originate around God's Word. They're vain and they're profane. Although we don't realize how vain and how profane those things are, but I live most of my life, or a lot of my life, not knowing anything about God's Word. I mean, although I was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, but I didn't know anything about the Word. I mean, you know, I can remember when I used to be a young deacon in a Baptist church. I thought I had studied, and I thought I knew a little bit of God's Word. But now I stand amazed how little of the Word I knew. How little. And now, I mean, even today, after all these years of study, I now stand in awe of how little about this wonderful book that I know. But this book tells me to shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now then, let's stop and think about whenever I was a young man, and some of you are as young as I am, or maybe a little younger. You know, some of you may be up there. Eldon told me yesterday was his birthday, and he said, I'm the same age you are right now. So it ain't going to be but just a month or a few weeks, and I'm going to be 1 year older than him again, so he's never going to catch up to me. But there's another one of them young men that can stay with you. I mean, for a young man, that man, he's a working dude. I'll tell you, he's been out here every day, day and night. I think about, you know, what And he put all this stuff up there, him and Dave did last night for Cheryl, climbing up on top of these ladders, all these, everything. And huh? Oh, yeah, I know he can do that. Yeah, he's all over the place. We've all been all over this place. But, you know, it is amazing when you start climbing up one of these buildings the first time when there's not anything up there, you know. But the first time, you know, you slide one piece of metal up and then you crawl up it and get up there where you want. And then you get off of it and you slide it in place. And you put some screws in it and hold it in place. And then you start rolling out your insulation. And there's lots of fun. If you hadn't built a building like this, you know, you ought to try it sometime. It's really lots of fun. Praise the Lord. No, that may not be your nick, you know. So if it's just like I thought about what all these girls and guys and everything done up here a while ago, I'd hate to try to do the singing some of them did, the playing some of them did, and the dancing some of them did, because I can't do that. But that's why God give us, or the piano play, you know, everything. I couldn't do those kinds of things because that's not what God blessed me with. But I can do all things through Christ. That scripture, Philippians 4:13, that is one of my favorite ones. Now then, when we look here, now let's go from here, let's go to verse 20 through 26 in 2 Timothy 2, and I want to change over to the NLT. Let's go to verse 20 through 26 in the NLT. That's a different translation. 2 Timothy 2. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver. Now then, in a wealthy home. Do we live in a wealthy home? Now, this is a little different than the King James. We may go back to the King James, but I read this extensively last night in both translations, and I think it was much easier to understand in the NLT. That's why I used it. In a wealthy home, are we as Christians attached to a wealthy home? Does our God own everything? Yes, He owns everything. And He can release it to you or He can withhold it to you from you. It's totally within His power to either bless you or to withhold from you wealth. He has it all. Now then, when I was a 20-year-old boy, if He had released wealth to me like He has in my older age, what do you think I would have done with that money and stuff if I'd had all that kind of money when I was 20? In other words, when I became an engineer and graduated and going way on out there and I'm building buildings and all kinds of money, really good. I mean, compared to some of you, it's nothing. But at least for me, it was good money. Now then, I'm trying to raise my family and all kinds of stuff. Even when I was flying in Germany, I mean, as an airline pilot, if I'd had the kind of money coming in when I was a young man as an airline pilot flying those big airplanes, I'd have made a fool out of myself. You know, I'd have bought a new Corvette, you know, or who knows what I'd have done, but I'd have made a fool out of myself. So I'm glad I didn't have that kind of wealth, and God knew what I would do with it. Although I'm living in a wealthy home, He's not going to release to me all this wealth. But He says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold, and some are made out of silver. And isn't that true? We have good things. And it said, and some are made of wood and clay. You know, so there's all kinds of things in your home. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions. Now, how many of you ladies have got your finest gold-plated silverware that you lay out for... Shelly, do you use your favorite gold-plated silverware for everyday normal meals? No, you only wait till the pastor comes to see you, right? Just kidding. But we wait till we sure enough have something, you know, really nice that we're going to do to lay out. You know, you have a special Christmas or Thanksgiving or something, and then all the family's going to be at home, so you set this beautiful table for all those you love. And it says here, these utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. I mean, we use the regular old steel stuff and the, you know, over to eat with every day, plastic, you know, and the cheap stuff, that's the everyday stuff. Said, now, if you keep yourself pure, now this is the secret, if you keep yourself pure. Now, I used to not really understand what that word pure meant, but that's clean and holy. The Lord says there, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil that God can use for His purpose. You think He's going to use one of these old dirty wood or clay things, you know, whenever He... No. He's not going to use those for to bring glory and honor to Him. Yeah, He'll use you somewhere, but it won't be where you want to be used. You know, I mean, yeah, you have to have both kinds, but I don't want to be one of those. I don't want to be the wood, hay, and stubble. I want to be one of those that have kept myself pure and clean so the Lord can use me for His glory. Don't you? Yes, absolutely. So if you keep, if, you notice there's a big word in the Word of God. If. Every time I see the word if in the Bible, I usually look, and that is one of the biggest words. If I do this, then God will do that. Somebody says, you know, God, He can do anything. Yes, He can. But they said, well, He's going to do what He wants to do. No, He's going to do what you ask Him to do in faith according to your purity. If you're not walking holy, He's not going to hear your prayer. In other words, if you just got mad, in other words, just before you come to church today, if you had a knockdown drag out with your spouse before you come to church, don't ask God for nothing today until you get right with your spouse, because He ain't going to hear your prayer. You know? Now, I mean, some people said, well, you know, I come to church and we have a, you know, you walk in, and just before you walk in the door, you know, you just have a spat with your spouse. And when you walk in, you say, oh, there's the pastor. You know, really got to be, you know, on your up and up. Hey, God was with you when you were having the knockdown drag out. The other night I got tickled at Eldon. He said, when you're gone, Dave's normally the number two man around here. And when you're gone, he's the number one man. I said, no, Eldon. I said, God's the number one man around here. We're all number two after Him. And I got tickled at them, too. They were kidding me the other day. Well, I'd been about twice. I'd went out to get materials and stuff, and I come back in, and they were in there having what Eldon calls a muffin break. He loves muffins. And, of course, his beautiful wife, Nancy, she makes cakes and all kinds of stuff and food and sends them over here. So about, you know, 11 o'clock, he said, Thurman, it's time for a pumpkin bread or muffin break or whatever. And so I went to get stuff and come back about twice in a row, and they were in there at a muffin break. And I said, well, they said, well, you know what happens when the boss is gone, the cats will play or the mice will play or whatever they said. I said, no, guys. The boss never left. He was here all the time. So you got to get that in your spirit. To walk pure, you got to recognize the King is with you 24/7. You know, you can't do something just because your husband or your wife, and you can't try to be good just when they're there, because they're really not the one that's the one that's controlling your life. It's God and your thoughts. I think about how I used to didn't believe God could read my thoughts. But then one day I realized, hey, He knows even what I'm thinking. So if I'm thinking something bad about someone, guess who knows what I'm doing? We have learned here that if you think bad about someone, it can cause a problem with you. I mean, all you got to do is think it. You don't have to voice it. So if you want to walk in divine health, which is where I love to walk, you've got to be able to think clean, pure thoughts. Now then, as we go on here, so it says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for His purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Now, how many of you want the Master to be able to use you for His glory? I do. I want the Lord to be able to use me for His glory. So for Him to use me, I've got to keep myself clean. Now, these next two verses we got here, let's go to the next one. So it says, run. That's what I liked about the NLT. It doesn't just say gently walk away from. It says run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Now, when you're young, you have lust about everything. I mean, you want this or that or whatever, or your physical needs or whatever. You have all kinds of lust. It says run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Follow anything that makes you want to do right. Now, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make you want to do things that are right. Pursue faith. And when he says pursue that, I had no idea years ago when I read that so many times, I had no idea pursuing faith was so important. But now I realize when he says pursue it, he doesn't mean just kind of try to get a little of it. I mean, get a teacup full of this stuff. I mean, if you will pursue faith and you can get this kind of faith in you and you can pray the prayer of faith for people, there will be such great and awesome miracles that will happen in your life. It'll be beyond your wildest imaginations. I have seen it. And if you haven't seen the DVD we got back there about testimonies, miraculous testimonies of miraculous healings, it's two DVDs with 16 30-minute shows on it. And several of you people that are on those DVDs are here in this service today. You've seen those things. You were a participant of those mighty miracles of God. If you haven't seen them, you need to get them. You need to listen to them. And when it comes to faith, let me tell you, give you an example. I was just reading an email just before I come over here today that was handed to me. And it was an email from a man by the name of Mark from Minnesota. And when we were in Minnesota 6 months ago, I was teaching from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 10 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday, from 2 to 10. So when people say, you know, go to church for an hour, give me a break. No, an hour, that's not the kind of preacher I am. If you don't want to get more than an hour, you know, don't even come, because we don't do nothing less than an hour. You know, so we go on and on and on, and then we get into it. But I was teaching from 2 to 10, and Monday through Friday, and we were having a break from 5 to 6. And as they had the break from 5 to 6, I usually would never get out of the answering questions till at least 5:30. And so I'd finally have to shut down and so I could get in there and get a quick bite to eat. Well, I don't know what day of week, two or three or four days into this thing, I'm trying to gobble down a little bit of food. And I've been teaching on faith and everything else in God's Word that I think that I can. And a man come up, he said, "Mr. Scrivener, I realize it's almost 6 o'clock and you got to go back in there in about 5 minutes." But he said, "I've got my dog out in the car named Sam." And said, "That dog means so much to me." Said, "She got her front leg run over and right in the bend right here, car run over and broke it and crushed that leg. Would you come out and pray for my dog?" I thought to myself, I got all these people I'm trying to deal with, and this guy wants me to go pray for a stupid dog. Well, now, some of y'all don't think your dogs are stupid. You know that? Some of you. I look at Nancy back there. You talk about Boomer? Don't you talk about Boomer. That's her baby. Angel and Cheryl? Don't talk about Angel. That's her baby. Some of you girls think more about them dogs than you do your husbands. You know. So, anyway, that's just the way life is. But this guy, Mark, I think Mark lived by himself. He'd been through some devastating things, and Sam had been with him through it all. So Sam, I didn't have any idea that Sam meant so much to Mark. So I said, "Okay, I'll go out and pray for your dog." So we go out to the car where the dog is, and there's the dog, you know, with the bandage around her leg and everything, and the leg's just dangling, you know, just like it's just crushed in there. And so I open the door, and the dog looks up at me with those little eyes, you know, and big old dog Sam. And I laid my hand on her head, and I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, you said I could ask anything in the name of Jesus." So I said, "Will you please do a supernatural healing on this dog's leg?" I said, "Thank you, Lord. It's done." I turned to walk off, and Mark said, I said, "Okay, she'll be okay." I started to, because, you know, you got to have faith. So I turned to walk off, and he said, "Well, don't you want to see her run?" And I started to say, "Well, why don't you give God a little time to heal her?" I mean, you know, we think like that, don't we? And he opened the door, and Sam jumped out on all four legs and just went running all over the parking lot. And I thought to myself, right there in that scripture when it says, pursue faith. And look what the word is right after it. And love and peace. Do you think the king really meant that? Amen. Pursue faith and love and peace, because your faith won't work without love. If you're walking in love with God and you have developed that faith that you need, you can pray for a dog with a broken leg and see God instantly heal a dog's broken leg. Now then, one of the other ladies up there, I got to meet a lady. What was that girl's name? Christy? Huh? Cindy. Yeah, Cindy. When we went back up there, I was talking about Marks and his dog, and he was there at the meeting. And there was another lady. She stood up, and she said, well, I'm Cindy. And said, I was at your meeting 6 months ago when you were here when you prayed for that dog, Sam. And I said, okay. I said, and what happened to you? She said, well, I had lung cancer, and I've repented of all my sins. Said, you told me I had sins in my life, and I needed to get rid of my unforgiveness and everything. So she said, I was terminal with lung cancer, and said, you prayed for me after I repented, and said, I started feeling so good. And I said, you know, I'm healed because I feel so good. And you told me, no, don't ever go by feeling. You must just believe it because it's written. I said, so don't believe you're healed because you feel so good. Believe you're healed because it is written in God's Word. And so she said, I went to the doctor a few days later. She said, when I went in, I told the doctor, I said, Doc, I'm healed. Jesus has healed me. And she said, the doctor said, sure, okay. You know, unfortunately, most doctors don't believe God's mighty Word. So anyway, he went ahead and done the test. And she come back out and he said, Cindy, I have news for you. You're not healed. And she said, I am healed. I know I'm healed. He said, you know, no, you're not healed. He said, I never saw anything like this. He said, your lungs were totally, completely ruined with cancer. And there's no way you were going to get healed. And said, you have two brand new lungs. Like a 19-year-old, and he said, you have new lungs. You don't have healed lungs. Well, that was Cindy up in Minnesota. Now, why do you think the Lord told us to pursue faith and love? Now, if you have pursued faith and love and peace, if you do this, then can the Master use you for His glory? Now, who do you think healed that girl when I laid hands on her and prayed for her? Jesus did. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I can't do nothing except what the King tells me. He has to do all the healing. So, but He will only use you if you're obedient to His Word to pursue that faith and love and peace. And if you will pursue that faith and love and peace and enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Now, do you know people that serve God that don't have pure hearts? I'm not sure I'd want to spend a lot of time with them. Do you know that? In other words, I got so tickled at Phil the other night when we were up right up to the top of the peak up yonder, holding, me and him would go up on that big old sky track that Jack loaned us. That was what a blessing, too. I'm telling you, people have just done all kinds of great things. But we're going up and we're holding a big 6 foot wide, 4 foot, 4 inch thick, 30 or 22 foot long sheet of insulation. And we're going up and we're going up holding this as it's unfolding right down the wall to take it up over the top. And Phil looks down and he says, Pastor, how high are we? I said, well, we're only about 22 feet off the ground right now. He said, a year ago, I couldn't have done this with you. He said, but now I'm learning how to walk by faith. Now see, walking by faith, you can do that Philippians 4:13. What can you do when you walk by faith? All things are possible to him who believes. So this is a beautiful part about faith. So when we look up and we think about that, I thought about what Phil said. He said, Pastor, 20 feet, that's only from about where I'm standing to the wall. 20 feet doesn't look too far looking that way, but if you're up there looking down, it looks a whole lot further. And that's the way it is. But he was able to stay up there with me, and of course, you know, we had a great big safe platform to stand on. It was about 4 inches wide. You know, that blade on that forklift, that's not a big deal. You know, when you look down, you just see ground all down below you, so it's not a big deal. But if you haven't done that yet, you haven't lived yet. You know, so praise the Lord. Life is lots of fun. Some of you do great and wonderful things for the Lord. But he says, pursue faith and love and peace and enjoy the companionship. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Now that should be every one of us as Christians. Every one of us should have a pure, clean heart, and we should pursue faith and love and joy, and then we can spend time with each other. And if we have studied the Word of God, like He told us there in 2 Timothy 2:15, if we've studied it and be obedient to it, then you can be this great and awesome vessel of gold or silver that the King can use for His glory. I mean, if you're walking holy and obedient to His Word, whenever there's a need, He will trigger your heart, or sometimes God will just speak to you and tell you what to do. He'll just tell you. I mean, He'll use you for His glory as long as you got that pure, clean heart and you want to be used of the King. Now, some people don't want to be used of the King. Some people just don't believe that you can be used of the King. Well, let me tell you, God is a mighty God. He is an awesome God. And if you will allow Him to use you, you will get to see Him do the kind of things that I got to see Him do with Cindy. You know what kind of blessing that is when you get to go back 6 months later and a little girl comes up there, or a middle-aged woman, and says, I got two brand new lungs. I had a death sentence with cancer with my lungs and lung cancer, and there was nothing that healed me, and today I got two new lungs. You know how wonderful it is to be able to be the person that prays that prayer of faith for them and see them get that? That is so awesome. But, and again I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. Now, is it real easy to get involved in some arguments? You know, somebody says something, and you get off on a tangent, and you start into an argument. You can get into an argument so quick. Do you have to go into an argument? No. You just walk away from it. You don't have to get into an argument. Don't get involved, because don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. But too many Christians do that. And when we do that, we cannot be used for the glory of God. We're now stepped back into that wood, hay, and stubble realm. You don't want to go there. Okay, the next couple of verses. The Lord's servant must not quarrel. Now, that's a pretty good demand, isn't it? Is it pretty hard not to quarrel? Yes, it's real easy. Well, I'm going to have my way this time. Okay, the Lord says, the Lord's servants must not quarrel. That's a pretty good demand, isn't it? The Lord's servants must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone that's nice to you. Oh, he didn't put that part, that last phrase in there, did he? How hard is it to be kind to everyone? Oh, it's easy to love those that love you, isn't it? Well, Steve, when you have a customer that's really nice and they're really easy to get along with, it's so easy to do a good job for them. And if you make a little mistake, they say, oh, that's okay, Steve. I know you're going to fix that for me. No problem. But if you've done the best in the world you can do, and still they come at it and it ain't good enough, that's when it's kind of hard to love them, isn't it? Yeah, it's kind of hard to love them. But God tells us we're supposed to love everybody. You must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. Oh, I don't know any difficult people. Do you? Do you know any difficult people? Oh, some of you looked at your spouse. Oh, difficult people. Let me tell you, if you're a person, there's times in your life you're going to be difficult. You know that? You can be having a great day, and the next minute you can be difficult. But God tells us there, the Lord's servants, and that's what we are, we must not quarrel. Now, get this through our spirit. This is the Bible that's written to us, God's children. He's telling us what He likes and what He doesn't like. He tells us we must not quarrel. So, if the Lord's servants must not quarrel, but they must be kind to everyone, be kind to everyone. I mean, those people that are unlovely, be lovable to them. They must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. Now, how are you going to learn how to teach people God's Word? You're going to have to spend some time. What did he say a while ago? Read it? Oh, study it. Now you know why you have to study it, so you can teach it, right? You can't be an example if you've just read it. You've got to study it. Now then, it says, you should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Now, this is such a powerful message in the next few words here. I want you to really get a hold of this. They should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Do you know anybody in the church that opposes the truth? You start talking to people about, in some churches, you tell people there's only one way to get to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus. You talk about stirring up a hornet's nest. I mean, these people say, no, you got to do this. You got to do that. You know, I mean, I rode back on an airplane from New Orleans here quite a while back, and there was a woman sat beside me and her husband sat by the window, and I started talking to her. I said, are you a Christian? You and your husband Christian? Oh, yeah, we're Christians. I said, what church y'all go to? Well, we don't go to church. I said, well, why don't you? Well, you don't have to go to church. I said, well, who is your Savior? She said, what do you mean? I said, are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Well, no, I don't believe in that. I said, what do you think makes you a Christian? Well, she said, just being a good person. I said, no, no, no. I said, you got to know Jesus Christ. You got to be washed in the blood. There is no way to heaven except through the blood of Jesus. She said, you sound just like my sister. I said, praise God, you must have a good sister. But she said, you know, there's lots of ways to get to heaven. God would never make just one way to heaven. But you know, He did, didn't He? He made one way to heaven. You can go to any church, you can do anything you want to, but if that church is not teaching that Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way, and that He is the only way to heaven, and you don't receive that by faith, you're not even going. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But He says, we should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Now, these people could very well be Christians now. We're talking about here, there's people that are Christians. We should gently teach them that oppose different parts of the truth. Perhaps God, now just think, if you're teaching them, perhaps God will change those people's hearts. Who's going to change their hearts? God's going to change their hearts. If you teach them the truth of His Word, and they hear it over and over enough, and if you pray for them, it says perhaps God will change their hearts, and they will believe the truth. Now, let's look at this next verse, 26, and this is, then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants to. Now, if you're a Christian, if you're a son or a daughter of God, and you have opposed the truth, God's in control, and you're not willing to teach somebody these truths, and you're just going to say, well, just let them go their own way. If they're opposing the truth and not willing to believe the truth, what does it say the devil's going to do to them? Whatever he wants to. He's going to take them captive at his will, according to the King James. So the devil, if you're not walking in obedience to God's Word, the devil comes into your house and says, because you two are not walking in love with each other, I'm just going to make your children sick. Now, he wouldn't do a thing like that, would he? He would. And he did, didn't he? And he'll stir up a problem between your marriage so that neither one of you love the other one anymore. You think you're ready for a divorce. I can't live with this man. I can't live with this woman no more. I can't do this no more. Opposing the truth.
That's right.
Then when they get a hold of the truth and both of them accepted the truth and started walking in it, then the devil in their life had to go away. You know, and then that love walk came back. And of course, what I'm talking about, this lovely couple right here on the front row, is a true story. It really happened to them. And there's on that first DVD, we got their story number 2, 3, and 4 is their story. It took 3 30-minute programs to tell their story. It's so awesome, isn't it, Frank? It is. I mean, but this couple right here, this couple, their children were sick. I mean, they had an unforgiveness toward each other. They really, both of them were ready for a divorce. And their children were sick. I mean, all three of them. And the oldest one, which was about 8 or 9 years old, he was going to be in a wheelchair shortly. He'd already had surgery on his leg, and it was going the wrong way. And the doctor said, this boy's going to be an invalid shortly. And that's when Terry came to me. She said, I heard you had a healing ministry. And I started saying, well, there's a problem here. We got to find out what it is. And when I found out the problem was her, she didn't want to hear that. You know, she's a normal woman. You know, it's got to be her husband. It can't be me. Well, they were both the problem, but she was the major part of the problem. And when she acknowledged, I'm wrong, I'm holding a grudge, I got to repent, and I got to get back in a love walk with my husband, I got to be submissive to my husband, and I got to be submissive to God. The minute she did that, then once we prayed for the two younger boys, both of them got healed instantly. And within a matter of a few months, the other boy was completely healed, and the boy was going to be in a wheelchair by the time he's 10, now about 15, and he is far from a wheelchair. He's running and playing. Where is he? This one right here. Is it good to be able to stand up and walk, son? Praise the King. Amen. Glory to God. It's good to be well, isn't it, boys? Hey. Yeah, both of these boys over here, you had asthma and allergies and strep throat and all kinds of things. When's the last time you've been sick? You don't even remember. Praise God, huh? Yeah, both of you boys stand up here and let the people see you too. Here's the other two. So these three boys right here on the front row, this one here was the one that had the leg surgery, right? Yeah, he's the one that already had the surgery on his leg. And they wanted to do it on the other, but they couldn't. But whenever, after Mama got right and got back in love with Dad, and we prayed for the children, the legs, this boy right here, by the time he was 10, the Children's Medical Center in Dallas.
No, actually, he was going to Scottish Rite.
Okay, Scottish Rite. Okay, nobody. They said he would be an invalid in a wheelchair shortly, right? He was going that way, right?
They would have to replace both hips.
Have to replace both hips.
At some point from arthritis that would set in from the disease.
Wow. And who would ever dream that when you got right with God, that he would get healed? But he did, didn't he?
That's
right. Isn't it wonderful to be obedient to do what God says? You're glad too, aren't you, son? You didn't have to have that surgery.
That's right.
Praise God. And Mom and Daddy's glad, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful. You know, this is something when God says, if you don't obey me, I will curse your children. You know, a lot of people just flat don't believe that in God's Word. Just flat don't believe it. But I'm going to tell you, with what I've learned about this book, when God says, if you don't obey me, I will curse your children, if your children have got a problem, you got a problem somewhere, either between you or your spouse or your daddy, you're not walking where you're supposed to be walking according to God's Word.
Isaiah
4:6. Yeah. You've learned those well, haven't you, Terry? Now, here is a woman that has studied the Word in depth since all of her children got healed. And still are. You're still studying the Word of God. Because you know now that when he says study, you know he meant that, didn't he, Terry? And I'm so grateful for what he's done for you and your family. And I know that your lovely husband there, he's sure glad too, right, Frank? Absolutely. Yeah, we took them out to GLC here a while back. And if you want to see their story in detail, it takes an hour and a half just to listen to them tell their story. And it's on that DVD. So now then, praise the Lord. But there, I want you to see and get a hold of this scripture. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. This is only if they listen to the truth and hear the truth and turn from their ways, which is against God's ways. And if they turn and seek God, then he will move by the power of the Spirit and he will change their hearts. God changes your heart. When you begin to seek him, he changes your heart. And then he says, for you have been held captive by the devil, and he will do whatever he wants to you. Now, how would you like to have an open door to the devil because of some kind of sin in your life that he could come by your house anytime he wanted to and take you captive? You can be in a doctor's office real often, can't you? Terry used to, she told me when we was out there at GLC, her and Frank, she said there was times I hardly ever went more than 2 or 3 weeks without having to go to a doctor's office for something. But she said now that in the last 4 or 5 years, I think she said they hadn't been back at all in 5 years now or something like that, ever since y'all got your life back together. Is it wonderful to not have to ever go to a doctor's office? It's wonderful. And I will have to say that when God set me free, when Cheryl said a while ago when she made that song, Sozo, that word right there, S-O-Z-O, on our banner up here, on our sign, that word Sozo means saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. And I'm going to tell you, it's been between 20 and 25 years ago that I got a hold of that word in its entirety. Maybe I don't have it even yet in its entirety. But I have it enough that I've been able to walk in divine health all of these years. I mean, it is awesome to be young and 69 years old in a few days. On December the 30th this year, I'll be 69. And I'll run up down these buildings, help build this stuff. And we put this building up in 2 months. And I will have to say, though, I was tired. There's a few nights I was tired. Don't ever let nobody kid you. In fact, only a few nights ago, I was so tired after working till 11 or 12. I think that's the night I told Phil. I said, I am not going to be up till 1 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be in bed before 1. Well, I tried, but it's 12:30. And I finally got in bed. And for the first 4 hours that night, I was so tired. There's no way I could get that I could sleep. I finally, after I rested for 4 hours, then I was able to sleep another 4 hours, and then I was able to get up and go back to work. But my body, if I'd have listened to my body, when I woke up the next morning, it was screaming, saying, you need to stay in that bed a few more hours. But I wouldn't listen. I got up and went back to work because I wanted to see this building up and enough of it at least built and put together where we could have church in here today. And I want to say praise the Lord, and I appreciate all of y'all coming today to this meeting. It's amazing what God has done here. One little part here, I realize it's 4 o'clock, but I got one little thing I want to go here. I want us to start in Philippians chapter 5, and I want us to look at that verse 13. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. Let's go there. For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. Now, I want you just to think about, I want to close on this verse today. I want you to meditate on that verse, Philippians 4:13. Jesus is literally telling you there, I can do everything or anything or all things with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. But I can assure you, you will have to claim those scriptures by faith. If you claim those scriptures by faith, you can do it. Now then, if you have not listened to our teachings on the tongue, you need to get the copies either on CD, DVD, or something. You need to listen to the tongue, because your tongue is either your best friend or your worst enemy. And the average person, that's just like, have you ever seen somebody that says, you know, I'm overweight and I can't lose weight? I don't eat anything. Have you ever heard anybody say that? But yet they weigh 300 pounds. And you say, I don't believe that. I go with you and I sit down with you and I watch what you do, and I can guarantee you, when you say you don't eat anything, that's a lie. You eat plenty. You don't watch what you eat. That's what you don't do. You eat what your flesh wants to eat, and so therefore you eat too much. You eat too much. So what we do with our tongue, we will say, you know, I'm getting old. I'm so tired. I'm wore out. I don't feel good. I got a pain in my side. I wonder if I'm coming down with appendicitis. I hear Christians talk like that all the time. Your tongue is your worst enemy. It's your worst enemy. Now, if you're watching your mouth, you'll never make those kind of statements. When the enemy puts a little pressure on you to try to get you to do something wrong, or try to make you feel bad, or try to make you think you're the only one, that's just like today. I thought about today here. I don't have any heating, any air conditioning or anything, but yet it is a little warm in here today. And I think about some people thinking about, I've got to walk across, I don't have concrete out there yet for everything. got to walk across grass or whatever. And I think about some people, like the other day I was watching a Reinhardt monkey deal, and there was people that had walked 3 days through the heat to get to one of his teachings, and then they were sitting out there, and it was pouring down rain, and they were sitting out there in the rain listening to him preach the Word of God. Hours they were sitting out there. Nobody was grumbling or complaining. He's up there under a shelter. He's preaching the gospel, and they're all sitting out there in the rain. It's pouring down. You know, we're kind of spoiled in America. Y'all know that? Yeah, we're kind of spoiled. You know, I mean, we need to learn to get over it and to say, hey, praise God. You know, I praise the King. Now, we're going to have communion today. This is a great day. All those that have got everything, would y'all bring the communion down here? And we're going to take communion. This is a great and awesome privilege we have. We take communion the first Sunday of every month, and it happened to be on our dedication service. As you take this bread and this drink, I want you to examine your life. And if you've got anything in your life that's not according to God's Word, I ask you to repent. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Ask Him to forgive you. Let me have one of those, son. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So you take a little of this unleavened bread, and you get one of these cups of juice. And then if there's any kind of sin that you know of in your life, I ask you to repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you and make Him a promise that you'll, with His help, you'll do better this week. Every one of us needs to do better every week. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. What a privilege it is to be here in this building the first Sunday that we have church and to see this thing. I literally think every chair that we had was set out today, and I think almost every one of them was full. Somebody was sitting in every chair. So praise the Lord. I told Eldon earlier, I said, you know, this is what we built this building for, to fill it up to see people come so people could be blessed to hear God's mighty Word. Praise the King. It would be wonderful if it was packed out every Sunday, and by the time we got the walls finished, we had to knock out the back wall and add another 100 feet on it or something. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm in agreement with that. You get you one of these, of course, it's not going to be long. We're going to have a nursery back there in the back, and we've got a little nursery room over there in the corner. So you mothers that have babies, when you need to nurse them, we got a private little room off the back of the nursery over there with a bathroom. It private to the nursery. For the women that have to go back there, or you want to keep your little ones in there, we're going to have a big plate glass window on the side so you can see out. We'll have sound inside there. And then the hallway that I got sheetrocked up right now where you can't get down it, there is five normal bathrooms in that, and then one big one at the end for a handicap bathroom. So if somebody comes in a wheelchair, they'll have plenty of room to get in there. And we hope that they come in a wheelchair and they walk out. We don't want them to have to go home in a wheelchair, unfortunately. We sure now have had the privilege to see several people that were in wheelchairs get healed. All of them don't, but we're going to hope that we will get to that point, that we will see all of them healed. Praise the Lord for God giving us a healing ministry. I'm so grateful. I think we're going to, I don't know if my son and my children ever got over here or not. I didn't see them nowhere. But he was going to bring Caitlin and the kids over, but they had something to do. They planned to be here, but then they didn't make it yet, I don't guess. But maybe by the time we get through eating, they will be here. Some of you wanted to see Caitlin. So that's my granddaughter that God raised from the dead, you know, that's running and playing. I feel she will be here before the day is over. So everybody been served now? Not yet. We're still serving. Okay. Once you get that piece of bread, in the meantime, you thank the Lord and you ask Him to forgive you. If you got any kind of known sin, any unforgiveness or anything else, you make sure that you tell God, Lord, I'm sorry. I ask You to forgive me. I forgive everybody. I'm going to walk holy in Your presence. I'm going to pursue faith, love, and joy. I want to walk holy in obedience to Your Word. We're there now? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You that this piece of bread represents Your body, your body was striped and beaten and pierced for us, and so that we could be healed. Lord, it absolutely is the healing power of Jesus when we walk wholly in obedience to your word, because your word says that if we will walk without sin and without deceit and without all these bad things in our life, that then if we'll die to sin and live unto righteousness, that by your stripes we are healed. So, Lord, thank you for doing that for us. And we praise you and worship you for this bread as we take it as a symbol of your body. In Jesus' name, amen. And they ate the bread. And literally the most powerful thing in the universe is the blood of Christ. It washed away all of our sins. It paid a price that we could not pay. But he done that for you. Even when you and I were yet wicked sinners, the King did this for us, and he gave it to us as a free gift. So, Lord, I'm going to thank you and praise you for this juice that represents your blood. May we take it in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.